WWA TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Your host, Dr. June Knight, coming to you from Picayune, Mississippi. Listen, check us out on the website at watbradio.com and check us out on Twitter at watbradio. Listen, tonight we are hosting a very powerful woman, a very powerful revivalist, an apostolic revivalist, actually, named Tammy Sutherland from Frontline Ministries in South Carolina. How you doing, Miss Tammy?
I'm doing wonderful. So thankful to be here.
Yes, Miss Tammy. I'm going to read a little bit of your bio. You have previously done shows where you get into your life, but in case there's listeners that haven't heard this before, I'm going to read your professional one. Miss Tammy is a wife, a mother of three, revival forerunner, prophetic messenger, and apostolic builder. Tammy is the heart of Frontline Ministries. She is a passionate lover of Jesus and a fighter for the true bride of Christ to arise in these last days. Tammy and her husband Damon have pioneered the Carolinas' first mobile 24-hour prayer, worship, and revival prayer movement called Fire on the Altar. They have taken this amazing, fiery, prophetic prayer, worship, and revival movement to over 18 cities on the East Coast and beyond in the last 2 years. The movement is bringing this generation of consecrated voices out of the caves and commissioning them to be holy, last days warriors for Jesus. As Tammy and her teams travel, the bride is being awakened and the lost are being saved. Tammy's primary anointing is prophetic preaching and apostolic building. She has three natural children but is a mother to many. She trumpets the message of the necessity of the secret place of prayer and intercession as the center tent peg in the life of the body of Christ. Tammy Sutherland is a powerful last days prophetic voice and pioneer arising in this hour, says Apostle Ryan LaStrange, television host of God's TV Power for Today, author and co-founder of the New Breed Revivalist Network. Okay, Miss Tammy, listen, we have already heard your life story before, so I want to kind of move in on what God is doing in South Carolina. He's burning some revival fires over there, if you don't mind sharing what God is doing in South Carolina.
Absolutely. One of the most powerful things God is doing in South Carolina right now, I believe, is we're reaping the harvest of the prayers of the saints, those that have gone before us and cried out for reconciliation and for God to move in the state of South Carolina to bring down the walls of racial division, to bring down the walls of religious division, and to come in with a revival of prayer and intercession and unity in the body of Christ. And we began to see this really truly manifest, these prayers, this heart's cry of so many that had gone before us began to see this manifest whenever the shootings took place in Charleston back in the summer of 2015. There were nine African-Americans that were killed and one gunman that came into a church in Charleston, South Carolina, and he sat through a prayer meeting and really wrestled with his idea to go in and to kill these African-American ministers. And he sat through the prayer meeting and then actually stepped up, really says he wrestled with it, but he shot 9 believers, ministers, and prayer leaders in that church that day. And the way that South Carolina responded was a response, I believe, to the pioneering of prayer and worship, bringing down the division. These families of these people that were killed actually went into the courtroom and forgave and released the gospel of Jesus Christ to this young man. And it was such a powerful thing because we actually had the opportunity to go down and respond. We took boots to the ground, went to Charleston right after the shootings, and we put up a tent, and we did what we do. We had our prayer. We did our prayer and worship, but we actually went in the streets, and it was so awesome to see people literally kneeling in the streets, holding hands, praying. I'm talking about praying in the spirit. I'm not talking about patty cake.
Come on now, amen.
We're going to be nice. I mean, I'm talking about people prophesying over each other. I'm talking about people weeping with one another. I'm talking about people praying in the spirit with one another in the streets. This is the stuff that the news didn't show you.
Come on now.
I'm so proud of our state, because what took place in our state is we looked at the government and we said, look, we got this. Jesus has got this. And God began to move in the streets. I believe that it was a direct manifestation of what God's doing. It's the seeds that have been sown. It's the prayer. It's the worship. It's the breaking of generational curses from the from one generation to the next, the bloodshed being repentant, and this generation stepping up and saying, not on our watch. The blood of Jesus washes away the color line, and we declare over our state that we're coming against this racism and this division. The state that pioneered the secession responded with intercession, and that's a fulfillment of a word that was released by Dutch Sheets in 2005, that God would take South Carolina and shift it from a state of secession, which means division, to a state of intercession if we would come together in unity and prayer and worship in these main cities in South Carolina. So that's one thing that God is doing, and he's moving on the sound of our prayers in the state of South Carolina.
Well, I tell you what, the way that you say that your state forgave that boy, it reminds me of those ministers that I had on from Egypt. They just got back from Egypt, and they was talking about what's winning the Muslims is the forgiveness of the Christians, because they will kill them, and then they'll paint on their churches, "We forgive you." They will be forgiven at the moment of death, and they said that a lot of the Muslims are getting saved because of that. And we've said it many times on this radio station. We've said, you know, if they were to come to you today, you know, we must not have unforgiveness in our hearts. We have to look at them and say, I forgive you, just like Stephen did and just like Jesus did, you know. And
absolutely.
And I just want to say this, and I'm not trying to take your time, but I know that when I studied media, I know that media has agendas, and they are trying to get people angry at ISIS, especially Christians, because listen, if it goes down into your roots and you get bitter and they come to kill you and you look at them and, you know, start cussing them, because your roots are going to come out. What comes in will come out, but if we... when we see this stuff, we just need to say in our heart, we forgive them, because we have to keep our hearts clean. Because if persecution comes, like a lot of the, you know, prophets are saying right now, it's coming, we're going to have to walk in forgiveness. Amen, Miss Tammy.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
And so what you're telling America right now is that your state made the choice to forgive and to seek for racial healing, and that the church actually stood up to the state. I feel the presence of the Lord right now. Whew. You're saying that the church stood up to the state and said, hey, God's got this. I mean, I think that's pretty powerful, because, listen, that could have caused a nationwide riot. Amen?
It sure could. It absolutely could have.
Yeah.
It wasn't only the state. They stood up to the nation. They actually said the city of South Carolina, I mean the city of Charleston, a church in Charleston, looked at some of these political activist voices, national voices like Jesse Jackson, and said, look, we don't need you in our state. God's got this.
Wow.
And it was absolutely powerful.
It is powerful. And, you know, I'm saying this from an outside point of view. You know, I just moved here from Nashville, so I'm not from South Carolina. But I'm sitting here listening to you, a revivalist, saying that you traveled, you know, the state of South Carolina doing these fire on the altar services in like 18 different cities. I just can imagine the words and the prayers going up in the atmosphere, because we know our battle's not with flesh and blood. But like the words of those prayers, the hearts of the saints, you know, just up there doing spiritual warfare over the state. And then this comes in. I mean, I can imagine those prayers, you know, taking captive to a lot of the spiritual warfare up there. I mean, when we're seeking God for a state and we're seeking God for regions, I'm learning that God sees them as humans. He sees cities as humans. And when they dishonor him, he brings judgment to the, you know, to that city, like Sodom and Gomorrah and Nineveh and all them.
Absolutely.
And so here y'all are, you know, I'm just saying it could be that big, where when y'all went all over the state, your prayers are up in the atmosphere. The spiritual warfare is already going on. Y'all are laying claim in the spirit realm to your state for the glory of God. Then here comes the enemy like a flood. This army's coming in wanting to tear down South Carolina, wanting to destroy the state. So this guy comes in there, he does all this violence, but when it went up into the atmosphere, into the spiritual warfare, all the prayers of the saints there just kind of shot that thing straight back down, because the enemy meant to destroy with. But God, through the prayers of the saints, the plowing, the seeking, the crying out, the we want to shift in the atmosphere, I just believe that had something to do with it. I'm telling you, I feel that by the presence of God.
Absolutely. And I agree with that. And, you know, a lot of what we've done has been all over the East Coast. So I've got to give glory to where glory's due.
Yes.
Or honor where honor's due. And this, I believe that some of these saints have even gone before us. There's been so many intercessor groups that have gone all over this state and found the very spot where there's been massacres.
Yes.
They found where there's been bloodshed.
Yes.
And they brought together not just African-American and white. They brought together Indian, Native Americans. They come together and stood in these spots and repented of that bloodshed. And this is stuff that's been taking place in the state of South Carolina for you know, years and years and years now. I remember when I first got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, when I was 20 years old, I remember a group going from my church and repenting in Abbeville, South Carolina, of a massacre that took place there. And I believe that all of this is culminating together.
Yes.
Generation after generation after generation. And so I began to say something as we've gone about and done what we've done. I stood up on a stage on December 20th of 2014 when we did what we call one thing, or one movement is what it was. But we brought together, tried to bring together 12 cities all over South Carolina to do 24-hour prayer and worship. And I stood there that day, because December 20th was the day secession was signed into law in 1860. And I said, I believe that it's time for a generation to arise that will go beyond a reconciliation service and begin to walk in reconciliation.
Oh.
And I think it's the passing of the torch from one generation
yes.
to the next to say, look, we're going to be the generation that says the buck stops here. My kids want no color. My kids want no nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
You know, and I believe that's what we're seeing manifest.
That is awesome. I mean, how awesome is it, Bride? You've got this woman, she's saying, we're going to go beyond just holding a service where we're just saying, you know, we're going to remember this day, but we're actually going to be a catalyst of change. And so let me ask you this. That kind of leads over into the next question. Okay, you have been doing these fire on the altars all across South Carolina. And now you are getting ready to do a big event, bringing in other states in February. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. And I'll say this, what we've done with Fire on the Altar is we have literally been all over the East Coast with this. And what we're doing in February 5th and 6th is we're actually launching our permanent place. We're calling the Firehouse Prayer Revival Hub. we're launching this thing, and we're bringing in our network of family from all over the United States that have, we've gone to their city, we've done, held 24 hours of prayer and worship, we brought unity and built up the walls of prayer and opened up the wells of revival in all of these cities, all over the place, Virginia, West Virginia, and you know, South Carolina, I'm talking about all, North Carolina, all over the place, and everybody's coming together to, you know, in one spot, and we're calling it the launch, the Firehouse Launch, where we're going to hold 24 straight hours, plus, we're preparing for revival, I do want to say that, 24 straight hours, plus, a prophetic prayer, worship, the power of evangelism. We're bringing together a conglomeration of revivalists from 13, 14 states are coming in. Lou Engle of Azusa now, the call is backing us. He's sending his top guy, Dean Briggs, here to speak. And Isaac Middleton, who released a word in Fredericksburg, Virginia, about a 500,000 harvest that would burst out of Clemson, South Carolina. Isaac coming. You guys, we got you guys from Picayune, Mississippi, and Birmingham, Alabama. We've got the fiery, burning ones that have been even hidden in caves coming in all for this one weekend to polarize heaven for this outpouring and prepare for the harvest.
Yes.
And we're calling it the launch because I believe it's more than us launching our ministry. We believe we're launching a generation into this move. We're launching them into where God's calling them right now. And during that 24 hours, we're going to take a team to the street two times in the middle of literally College Avenue, Party Central in this area, and we're going to go out there and reap the harvest. We believe in God to move with power and healing as we just come straight out of the place of prayer and worship. We're going to the street, and we believe in God to literally bring that harvest back in. So that's the gist of the January 5th and 6th launch.
Well, let me tell you this. You are for sure going to Periscope for all the ones that can't be there, right?
I'm sure we'll have Periscope going and we'll have live stream going. You can go on our website and click on Frontline TV, and it has a live stream link on Frontline TV on our website. It's on the homepage.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can watch live right there, too.
That's what I'm saying for the people that's not able to come, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
so this is one of those things, man. It's got to be experienced.
Now, I did see you sent out a notice through email that you actually have reduced prices on hotels, right?
Absolutely. We have reduced prices on hotels, and the event itself is free. We're trying to make it as available to everyone as we can.
Well, let me ask you this. That place that you're opening a revival hub, is that a building that's actually going to be used as a revival hub all the time?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. We will have, we're already here 4 days a week.
Oh,
we're already
what do y'all
open
do
and have, we have prayer and worship. We're actually beginning to fill live worship sets already. We've not really advertised it yet because we're really just trying to pull in this region. We're in the middle of a fast and a time of prayer. We're here from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. every Monday through Wednesday. And after Sunday, we're actually going to start having Wednesday night what we call burn services on Wednesday night. So we'll be here Monday through Wednesday every week. And then once a month, we're going to have basically a very similar meeting like what we're having for the launch. So, yeah, we're here. And we're expecting to see people come in from all over to be a part of this.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's very exciting. We are living in such exciting days. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this before we take a break to ask you about the 2016 is, do you not see more teams of revivalists pulling together in this hour?
Absolutely. This is the hour of team ministry, without a doubt.
Yes.
It is a five-fold ministry coming together, ministering together without competition.
Yes.
It is the bride. It is the bride,
yes,
coming together. Without a doubt, that is the mark of this movement.
Yes.
It is no competition. Fivefold ministry teams coming together, flowing together without agenda.
Yes. I have another host with me here tonight. This is Pastor Marvin Atkins, and he has a question for you, Miss Tammy. Go ahead, Pastor.
Let me ask you another question, Tammy. What do you see or hear God saying prophetically for America in the year 2016? I like to ask these hard questions.
I'm praying about how to respond to that. I'm going to share this with you. The end of the year, I had an encounter with the Lord. It was Isaiah chapter 6 encounter. It was literally, I found myself on the floor, literally my whole body shaking, crying out to the Lord.
Okay, Tammy, we kind of lost a little bit of signal there. If you don't mind picking up where you left off, go ahead.
Absolutely. What I was saying, he asked me about what's the Lord doing in America right now is kind of going into the light and the darkness and what God is doing. And I really believe that as we begin to see the shaking take place, that God is going to highlight these revival hubs and these prayer hubs, and they're going to be places of refuge. I believe that as we see the shaking take place, that God is going to cause the lost to be able to begin to come in and find true healing in these revival hubs, these places. One of the reasons that we so desire to follow after the model of the Tabernacle of David, to follow after that model of setting night and day prayer and worship in place, is because when these shakings begin to take place, God's going to cause these people that don't have anywhere else to go, that literally all hell's breaking loose in their life. And God forbid we have terrorism on our shores and persecution, you know, in our cities and our towns.
Right.
God will have a place of refuge for people to go, because the door won't be shut to the place of worship. It'll be wide open, and there'll be worship and prayer going on night and day.
Come on now.
And this encounter that I had with the Lord, this Isaiah chapter 6 encounter, that's what God was showing me. He was literally peeling back the heaven, showing how he so desires that he is able to release the knowledge of his glory across the earth through the bride in a way that the world has never seen before. And I began to cry out to God and ask him, but Lord, I don't even understand what that means or what does that look like, God. Jesus was the greatest revivalist. Jesus was the greatest.
Come on, Tammy.
You know, the Holy
Spirit. Amen.
Day of Pentecost, Lord, I don't understand. What are you trying to tell me? And God began to speak to me, and he said to me, he said, Tammy, I'm asking, will you birth the bride in the last days? He said, the greatest revival that the world has ever seen is when the bride begins to arise without spot or blemish. And in Revelation 22:17, it says that the Spirit and the bride say, come. And God began to speak to me and say, in the moment when the Spirit and the bride begin to come into unison with one another and cry out for the bridegroom to come, that he will split the heavens. And the greatest revival that the world has ever seen is when the bridegroom returns for the bride.
Yes, amen.
And it's a unity, a unifying of the bride with
yes.
the Spirit and the bridegroom in the last days. And God began to show me that as we begin to host his presence, nothing more and nothing less, that we begin to become hosts for his presence, that we will find ourselves abiding in the place of his presence, and we will get so filled up. And we're going to do this when we launch the firehouse in February. We're going to collide night and day prayer, worship, and revival fire with power evangelism. And we're going to go to the streets. Here in Clemson, South Carolina, there's a place called College Avenue. And on Friday and Saturday night, you can't drive down College Avenue because of all the people out on the streets partying and going in and out of the bars. We're going to collide this absolute encounter with the Lord as the body. And we're going to go to the streets, and we're going to take a team.
Thank you, Lord.
To the streets and begin to pray for people and believe that we're going to go beyond the sinner's prayer, but we're going to see people encountering the man Jesus. And the sick are going to be healed, and the drunk are going to be sobered, and the high are going to come down, and they're going to find themselves in a place of encounter with the Lord. And you ask me what I think God's doing in America, he's shaking everything that can be shaken so that the bride can arise in these last days. And when everything begins to fall apart, there's going to be places of refuge that his fire and his presence and his glory will dwell, and everything else is going to fall. across the website. The church is going to have to lay down her right to claim the thing. She's going to have to lay down that, and she's going to have to arrive in this time and begin to truly, without question, fall in love with the first love all over again so that glory can be known across the earth. It says that it's
that is powerful.
Cover the earth as the knowledge, as the waters cover the sea. And that was what takes place when we begin to go beyond church services and events, and we begin to launch ourselves into a place of a revival that is truly going to split the heaven and cause our bridegroom to respond to the heart's cry of his bride.
Oh.
The spirit of the bride say, come. And Jesus says, behold, I'm coming quickly. That is what I see is happening. It's the beginning of the birth pains. It's the beginning of the birth pains.
Oh.
Every tribe, every tongue, every language, genders washed away in the blood of Jesus. The color line is washed away in the blood of Jesus. We find ourselves at a place when it's just all about Jesus, full of his presence, full of his glory, and Acts chapter 2 becomes just the beginning of a thing when the Holy Spirit is poured out. That was just the beginning. We're fixing to walk ourselves and our children walking into the end of it.
Wow.
Which is just another beginning.
Yes. Now, Tammy, before we take a commercial break and come back for you to preach, I want you to tell the bride one more time the name of your website for them to go to.
You can check out the Firehouse at www.frontlinefirehouse.org. Our main ministry website is frontlinefire.org. Both websites will direct you to our ministry, but the Firehouse website will take you to understanding more of the Firehouse and the event.
Okay, one moment. Not reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communications can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen. Are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org. Okay, Bride, we're back. This is Dr. June Knight. I'm your host tonight. We are here with revivalist, prophetic revivalist, apostolic revivalist, Miss Tammy Sutherland in South Carolina, and she is going to preach the Word of God right now. Go for it, Miss Tammy.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, this word that the Lord is releasing right now at a record pace with me is the message of the bride. And we're hearing that terminology a lot. You know, I'm on We Are the Bride radio show right now. And this is a revelation that God is releasing right now. And He wants us to come to a place where we understand that the bridal paradigm, the bridal understanding, goes so far beyond gender. It has nothing to do with gender.
Amen.
That God is calling together a people to himself is what he's doing. He is preparing a people, every tribe, every tongue, every language. He's preparing a people for his son, Jesus, who is the bridegroom. A lot of people have really struggled with that terminology, but I think that more and more, that has been the message over the past few years, that people are starting to begin to understand that this is a language of love that the Lord uses to draw us to himself. It goes back to the garden. It goes back to the place where Adam and Eve were created for one another. It is a picture of the bride and the bridegroom. When God creates man in his image and in his likeness, and he says it's not good that man should be alone, he opens up his, puts him into his sleep, he opens up his rib, he takes out of man and creates a bride for the bridegroom so that they could be reunited. How many of you know that the word of God says for this reason the man will leave his father and mother and cling to his wife? That was the beginning of the beautiful picture of the bride that God was painting. Way before sin entered into the world, he was painting a picture, a prophetic picture. God is a prophetic artist. He is the most amazing prophetic artist that world has ever seen. Look around you and see how the heavens and the earth declare the glory of God.
Yes.
He's a prophetic artist. He's a prophetic writer. The word of God is a prophetic writing. God was painting a picture for us whenever he created Adam and Eve, because he knew, the word of God says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the earth. He knew that this man, this Adam, would mess it up, and this Eve, this bride, would mess it up. But he would come about and bring it full circle when he would send his son into the earth. And get this, he would send his son into the earth to take on the clothes of man, to become the second Adam and become the bridegroom that would not sin with his bride, but would redeem her to be able to be reunited with him. He would leave his father and come into the earth to redeem his bride. Adam left his father and chased after his bride in sin, but Jesus would come, the Son would come into the earth and chase after his bride without sin, so that he could bring things full circle and cause her to be reunited with him. We are the bride. We are called and we are chosen to be united with the man Jesus in a bridal paradigm where we will rule with him forever. If you go back to Adam and Eve and take a look at that, you will understand that he said that it wasn't good for man to be alone, but he would make a helper suitable for him. You see, Adam had already called out the identity of the entire creation. God gave him rule. God gave him reign. And that was before Eve was taken out of him. They ruled together. They call forth identity together, but God thought it would even be more beautiful to cause them to have to choose, to cling to one another. So it's a revelation of the desire of God for mankind to rule with him. Why is it that we don't go into the millennial reign? Why don't we go into the return of the Lord? We don't understand these things. They cause us to really just have to scratch our heads and begin to understand what God even means by this. But it's a restoration of all things. But we're literally walking out right now in this hour of time when God would begin to call the people to come together in one heart and one accord with the Spirit of him. The Spirit of God will come together, call them to come together in one heart and one accord, and begin to call forth a reuniting with the bridegroom. You see, Jesus didn't just die for us to be with him in heaven forever, but he died, his side was pierced so that we could be reunited with him, not just in heaven forever, but in the earth as well. It is with his desire to rule and reign with his bride. That's what the millennial reign is all about. That's what the New Jerusalem is all about. It's a restoration the place of the garden. So this message, this bridal paradigm message, takes us further, where even where it said in Isaiah that you should no longer call me master, but call me husband, it takes us to a place where we're not just seeing God as our master, but we're seeing him as the one who wants to be, John 17, united with us, one. Jesus said, I wish that they would be one as you and I are one. He was speaking to the Father. He was talking about that unity, that place of oneness. You see, we are to have the mind of Christ. How can we have the mind of Christ if we don't understand that we're supposed to be united with him, to think what he thinks, to feel what he feels, desire what he desires?
Come on now, that is good preaching.
Yes. Yes, I mean, he took it a step further. Whenever he poured out a spirit upon all flesh, he said, I don't want to just be with you, but I want to be in you. I want to tabernacle with you. But
yes.
He said, I've got to go away so I can send a helper suitable, so that I can send a helper to you, so that I can send the counselor to you. I've got to go away. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to pour out my spirit, is what he was telling them. 10 days I want you to pray. 10 days. He didn't give them the amount of time. He said, go and tarry and wait. And he said that. He made a promise, and his promise was fulfilled, so that as we wait and as we walk, that we're not just with him, but he is with us, and he's in us through breathing the breath of life, the Ruach Kodesh, the Holy Spirit through us, in this time as we walk and we wait and we begin to long for him, for his return. You see, it's very interesting to me that in Revelation 22:17, it says that the Spirit and the Bride say, come. You see, that tells me the Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit, who was the same Spirit that was breathed into the lungs of Adam at the day of creation, the Ruach Kodesh, the breath of God was breathed into the lungs of Adam and whenever he was created, that same Spirit would be poured out in a day that would absolutely bring in a place of restoration, that there would be no more male nor female, Greek nor Jew, bond nor free, that it would bring about a restoration where mankind would literally be able to breathe again. It wouldn't just be the blood of Jesus that would cover so that we could go to heaven, but it would be an outpouring of the Spirit to literally bring breath back into our lungs that we may breathe with him. And then you see it in Revelation 22 that it says that the Spirit and the Bride say, come. It is a uniting of the people of God with the very heartbeat of God, with the very breath of God. And when that happens, and that only happens out of the place of intimacy, it only happens out of the place of prayer, it only happens out of that place of seeking after his face. And when that would happen, it said 2 verses later that Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly. Why? Because the bridegroom is standing at a place that he's longing to return for his bride, and God is saying she's not ready. She's not ready. The Father's saying she's not ready, because only the Father knows the day and the hour. But it would come about to be a moment when the Spirit and the Bride would come in unison, and the Father would say, now it's time, go get her, and Jesus wouldn't be able to help but respond.
Wow.
That's the revelation of the paradigm of this bridal Christ that God is releasing in the earth in this hour. Why is the prayer movement becoming such a powerful movement? Why are people being compelled to pray, compelled to worship? Why is there a generation of college students to take hold down a doggone job and all they want to do is pray? What is going on in this generation?
Amen.
This is a generation that has been marked with a longing and a burning for Jesus.
Yes,
because
Lord.
This is the generation that will, by his grace, usher in the return of our Lord. Why is the prayer movement such a big deal? Because there's been birthed in this power a generation of people who say, I cannot live without him. I absolutely cannot live if I cannot be connected with him day and night and night and day. This is a fulfillment of scripture. This is not a new thing that's taking place. This is an old thing that's being fulfilled. David did it. Nehemiah did it. The church in Acts did it. Now it's coming back full circle that the bride would be reunited in the last day with the Holy Spirit. And again, the breathe what he breathed, says what he says, and the Father would split the heavens and would release the Son to return, so that the bride and the bridegroom again could be united to rule. The government would be on his shoulders.
Wow.
They could rule together in the earth again. That's what's taking place. Why is there such a shaking? Because we are broken human beings who we have to come to a place of realizing that without him, we are nothing.
Yes. Wow, that is some powerful preaching, I'm telling you. And it is so true about the bride, because you know what's coming to the earth is because God is jealous for her. She's not ready. And you know, like way he did the children of Israel, you know, he had to pull his hand of blessing off of them and let them get whipped a little bit. You know, like that's how jealous he is of her. And that's the way he is with the bride right now. He's so jealous for her, and she has set her affections, you know, on other things. I'm talking about as a whole, not the remnant, you know.
But
it's true. You do have the remnant, though, that, you know, is crying out. Like, I heard Ron Till last weekend, and he said he has never seen the passion in the bride like he is right now. Like, the hunger is just so... It's revival in every one of them, not just in one person anymore, you know.
Absolutely.
Like,
that's the beauty.
Yes. It's awakening the bride. It's awakening to where we've slumbered and where we've slept and how we put other loves in front of our true love. And you know, it's bringing that burning passion back. And I believe, too, that has a lot to do with the team effort today of, you know, revivalists and people wanting to pull together, because people are starting to realize, you know, this revival ain't about a name. It's not about a title.
No.
It's about me coming and serving your vision. And, you know, which is what the radio station is about, you know, is bringing up other people's visions, because I want to see you successful in your mission, you know, like God called you to that, and let me come be a part of that, and as I serve you, God will bless me, you know.
Like, yes, absolutely, without a doubt.
Yes, yeah, so I'm very thankful for the word that you released tonight to the bride, and I pray, bride, that it really encouraged you. That if you have been in the cave, she is sounding the alarm. Come out of that cave. It is time for us to take up our armor and to march. And another thing is that's beautiful right now about what God's doing is he's making the bride realize that every one of us that are different is the way that God created us. We can celebrate our separate various missions. You know what I mean? We don't have to be in the box. And I believe that's why a lot of the bride has been in the caves, is because the church, which has been in error, has put people in a box because of their prophetic gifts and said, we won't. I had this revivalist on the broadcast. His show is not aired yet, but he said the most profound thing. He said, God is about to flip the pyramid. I about fell out of my seat. If you think about it, bride, the pyramid is the way the church system is set up right now. The church serves one man.
Wow.
He's about to flip it where we serve each other.
Yes.
We're on the bottom of the pyramid and pushing the church up to the top. I was like, wow, that is profound. But it's the truth, though, ain't it, Miss Tammy?
Absolutely. That is it right there.
Yes. Yes. So, bride, we're in for the ride of our life. And if you get a chance to go out to her event February 4th and 5th, check her out on the website. She also has a Facebook page. You can just look it up on Facebook, Fire on the Altar or Firehouse Frontline Ministries. Now, listen, bride, we can sow into her heart today and sow into her vision, sow into her mission. And we are going to do it through prayer. So if you don't mind bowing your heads, bride, and we're going to come together in agreement. I appreciate all of you that are listening from Germany, from Russia, all of the different responses that we're getting from the different countries. If you can understand us in English, praise God. Because listen, what is going on in America, yes, America has gotten away from the Lord, but there is a remnant that is crying out to him and asking him for mercy. So if you would please pray for America, we'd appreciate it. And we pray for y'all too. Amen. So let's come together in agreement for Miss Tammy. Lord, the bride across the earth, we come together in agreement, Lord, for our sister. We thank you, Lord, for her life and for the mission that you called her to through the region that you called her to, Lord, in South Carolina. We thank you, Lord, you designed her life for such a time as this, for the very purpose that she's living. And Lord, we all gather around her across the world and say, yes, Tammy, be all that God has called you to be, with all of the provision, the power, the everything that you need, the tools and strategies, the angelic host, the intercessors, the favor of God upon your life. And we all come together in agreement, tearing down every demonic stronghold that would try to come against the mission that God has called you to, tearing down every one of the principalities and the powers that have tried to move against you. We hold them back right now in the Spirit in Jesus' name. We have the revelation that our battle is not with flesh and blood, it's with the principalities and the powers. And we stand together with you in the Spirit, because the Bible says, one cast 1,000 to flight, two cast 10,000. Much more, all of us across the airwaves coming together in agreement, no matter what day they're listening to this, no matter what time that they're listening to this archive, they are praying and coming together in agreement saying, yes, we support you. No more is the bride jealous. No more is the bride jealous. But we stand together holding up arms saying, yes, go and be and do all that God has called you to do with all of the sources and the provision that you need. We call it in right now. We declare a thing with our mouth. We're speaking it out and declaring that she will have all of the provision she needs, buildings, favor, the unity in her region, the unity of the churches, of the pastors coming together, all of the universities. We come against every demonic stronghold and power hold over those universities. In the name of Jesus, we tell you to bow to the will of the living God. And actually, we speak to all the universities across the United States. They were started as Christians. They were started for a purpose of spreading the gospel. We call them back. We come against that liberal, come against that liberal stronghold over them, that Antichrist spirit. We tear you down today in the name of Jesus. We claim the educational system would have a reformity, that it would be reformed in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, that just like she said in her city, no longer are we just going to stand up and say we want to recognize this one thing on this day, but we are a catalyst to change. We're going to do something about it. Thank you, God, that she has the strength to stand up, Lord, and to fight in this army and to lead the army, Lord. We thank you and give you praise, God. We thank you, Lord, for increasing in the prophetic on her life, Lord, increasing her senses of discernment, increasing her senses in the prophetic as far as hearing your voice, Lord. We thank you, Lord, increasing her visions, increasing her dreams, Lord. And we thank you and pray, Lord, for an increase in her marriage, Lord, in her family, Lord. We speak peace in her home, Lord, peace in her children, peace in her family, Lord. May all of them have health and healing, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for her husband, Lord, standing behind her, Lord, or beside her, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would give him all the heart's desires, everything that his heart's desires, and bring it to pass, Lord. That he would receive the reward for standing beside such a mighty woman of God. And that you would bless him, Lord, in all the little ways that you know he loves. Even the car that he wants, Lord. I mean, just the reward of life, Lord. Just give him all the, if he likes red birds, Lord, have them fly and come see him, Lord. Just all the little things in his heart, Lord. And we thank you and give you praise, Lord, for everything you're doing in her life and her region, Lord. Thank you for giving her favor with ministries, Lord. Ministries that are sowing into her vision, Lord, that are bringing people there, Lord. And we pray for this event, Lord, on February 4th and 5th. We thank you for the fire that's going to explode, Lord, across the United States, Lord. We all support that vision. We support that event, God. We pray, Lord, that it would blow up on Periscope, Lord, that people will watch, Lord, and be praying and interceding with them, participating, Lord, that it'd be like a nationwide revival, Lord, across the airwaves, Lord. We thank you and give you praise, Lord, because you are the one that is calling this thing to happen. And we give you praise because you're the one that brings the favor as well, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you and give you all the praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, sister, we'd be honored if you'd pray for our ministry and pray for the bride, please.
Absolutely. Lord, I just thank you so much for this ministry. Thank you for the power of media ministry, God, the power that goes across the airwaves, God. I thank you that we're taking authority over the presence of power in the air, and we're declaring that Jesus is the prince of the air. We're declaring full airwaves, God. We declare over this radio station, broadcast station, God, that it would begin to impact cities and states and regions, God, across the earth. Lord, I pray for financial provision, God. I pray
Lord.
Lord, I thank you for parting the waters of the heavens over them, God. Father, I come against every hindrance that's been there in the past season. In the name of Jesus, I command it to fall to the ground. I send forth warring angels to unlock doors that the Lord has ordained to unlock right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I declare over them the keys of the kingdom are given into their hands to unlock that need to be unlocked. And they're shut and locked tight, the doors that need to be shut in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for the bride, the listeners that are here now, and the ones that will be listening to the even the replay. God, I pray over them right now that your eyes would be open, that you would begin to gain this discernment of the heavens, to gain this discernment of the Lord, that your spiritual eyes would be enlightened, that you would know what it is, the hope of your calling, that God would begin to reveal to you in dreams and visions and encounters who you are as his bride.
Yes,
that
Lord.
You know your identity. I come against this identity crisis in America right now.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Name. I declare over you, bride, that you are the bride of Christ, that you know who you are, that you are seated with him in heavenly places, that you are with him and not under him, that you are ruling with him, that you're reigning with him, that he loves you, and he's called you forth according to his word, according to his purposes. Lord, I pray right now, divine deliverance to go forth across the airway, Lord, forcing out every attack of the enemy over the listeners, in Jesus' name, all across the earth, all in the other countries and other regions, God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Father, I call them out right now. I call you out of the cave in Jesus' name. Do not fear the call on your life. Do not fear been appointed and that you've been anointed. Don't fear then. The stench of the past season be removed now in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
the fear of the past season be removed now. I declare over you now that you're going forth in authority, that you're going forth with anointing, because God has seen your heart, and he does not look on the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. He sees your heart. He knows your desires. He knows that you long for him, and he says because he's seen your heart, he's bringing you out, and he's bringing you forth in this hour. God, I pray that you connect them with the people that they need to be connected with, God. Not those who are going to harm them, God, but those who are going to bless them and grow them and bring them up and bring them forth in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Thank you so much, sister. It's always such an honor having you on the broadcast. Amen. Well, hey,
amen.
We will have to have you after that event to tell us what happened. Amen.
All right. Sounds great.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.